Pastor Joe is taking off this week, and so it's important for anyone ministry or working in the secular world to take a break once in a while and just be refreshed. So our pastor is away for the week, and so I am honored and blessed to be able to share with you tonight. We're going to be in the book of Colossians. If you need a Bible, just slip your hand up, and we'll bring one over. Jack will bring you a Bible. We'd love to have you follow along with us in God's Word. Colossians chapter 3 tonight. Such an important book that we look at here. Colossians has a few purposes to it. But one of the things that Colossians was written for was to stir the hearts of the church to not only walk according to the Spirit, but also to seek the things that please the Lord. In other words, to seek after the Lord, to seek after what He wants for us. And it's a wonderful epistle, and we're going to be in chapter 3, and there are many things we're going to face in this world and that we are facing in this world. Trials, tests, tribulations. Many things in this world also are trying to distract us and trying to steal our hearts and take us away from what God has planned. And so this is one of those sections of scriptures tonight that I pray will encourage you and myself and stir our hearts to seek after the things which are above, the things which are eternal. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that, Lord, through your word and the power of your Spirit, you would stir our hearts tonight. And maybe some of us have been battling with things that are, I don't know, Lord, maybe stealing our heart away from you. There are many things that we're going against and coming up against daily. But Lord, tonight, as we sit at your feet, you, the good shepherd, Lord, we pray that you would feed your sheep tonight, that you would have your way here tonight. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Colossians specifically we're going to be looking at tonight is, number one, why was this epistle written to the Colossians? I kind of mentioned earlier, to stir the hearts of those who were in the church, to obey God, to seek after the things of God. But there were other reasons for this beautiful epistle. One of them was to remind the church of the preeminence of Christ, that he is the God before all things, in all things, through all things, and all things are made by him. The preeminence of Christ, to know that he is God, creator, redeemer, savior, and of course to let us recognize that Jesus is Lord. And many people have issues with that part. I've talked to people that say, yeah, okay, well, I believe that there's a God, I guess. But then when it comes down to it, and I mentioned Jesus, it's, you know, a lot of times it's no. No, he was a good man, or he was a good teacher, but no, he wasn't God. So there's a definite instruction in this book that points us right to Jesus Christ as Lord. That's so important. So, number one, one of the big reasons for this epistle, the preeminence of Christ. Number two, this epistle was written to remind us that nothing but Jesus can satisfy. Nothing but Jesus can satisfy. Because everything and anything else is only temporary. Anything else we chase after in this life, though it might put a Band-Aid on the situation or make us feel good for a moment, it's just temporary. We all were born with this void, this need in our heart that only Jesus Christ can fill, because we were created by him for his good pleasure. So he, the master, the creator, has created us, and we have this longing to fill this void in our hearts. Naturally, the only one who can fill it is the one who created us. And so it's kind of also to remind us here that Jesus, only Jesus satisfies. In previous chapters here in Colossians, he goes through different things, like whether it be philosophy, intelligence, legalism, or simply just chasing after things that are carnal, that are worldly, and seeking after those things, to remind us that they will all pass away, but Jesus will always remain. And that is so important to remember tonight. And no matter what is going on in our life, Jesus is still Lord. He is still King. He is still ruler of all. And he's not going to change. So he is in place. He is the only thing that satisfies. The only one who can satisfy our hearts. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, this epistle was written to stir the hearts of those in the church to not only walk in the Spirit, but walk in the new life that Christ has given them. To walk in the newness of life. To walk in this new life that Christ has given us. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that those who are in Christ are a new creation. Behold, all things that are old have passed away and all things become new. We are new creations in Christ. So in this new life, we are to walk in this new life that we have in Christ, putting away our old lifestyle, our old man, and following Christ. I wish we could spend hours and hours and hours in this epistle, because I think that the book of Colossians is so important for the believer to know how to walk in a manner that's worthy of their calling, to know how God wants us to walk. We all need direction. We all need guidance. I can say to you, well, what you need to do is repent and ask God, fill you with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and not according to the flesh. But if I just say that, it can leave you going, well, okay, well, what's that going to do? Because we need direction. We need guidance. That's why it's so important we get the full counsel of God's Word. That's why it's so important, as we're going to see tonight, that folks, that we are in the Word of God, daily in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is like a GPS for us. The Word of God is going to speak to, minister to, and guide us with wherever we're at. Because the Word of God is alive. It is living. And it is active. And it is sharp. And it can come in and do surgery that nothing on this earth can do. And speak to our hearts. We need that. So verse 1 through 11... I'm going to read 1 through 11, then we'll go back. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. By the way, he doesn't say in which some of you walked in when you lived in them. In other words, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. We're all sinners here tonight. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. What a wonderful section of scripture here tonight. Let's look at the first verse. Right off the bat, in the very first verse, the very first sentence, he says, if then you were raised with Christ. That's the first question tonight. Have you been raised with Christ? Paul said it beautifully in Ephesians chapter 2. And matter of fact, if you want to turn with me, you can. I'm going two books to the left. Ephesians chapter 2. He said this so beautifully. Chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Have you been saved? If you have been saved, if you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, turn from your sins, confess them to Almighty God, ask him to come and forgive you, and let Jesus be your Lord, your Savior, your Master, surrendering your life to him, then you're saved. If you are saved, then the Bible says that you are born again. You are dead to self and you're born in the Spirit, as Jesus spoke about in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. You are now born again. If you are born again, then you have been raised with Christ, and you have your position now is seated in the heavenlies. In other words, your destiny is there already. It's waiting for you. That's our position in Christ. We are already in the heavenlies. We already have a spot. We're going to spend eternity with the Lord. It's going to be incredible. So the first question in chapter 3, back to Colossians chapter 3, he says, if then you were raised with Christ. So if you have been saved, you have been raised with Christ. And if you have been raised with Christ, he says, listen up, gang. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. We just read in Ephesians how we are raised with Christ and seated in the heavenlies in him and with him. And so now he tells us here that since we are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So we want to seek after things that are eternal, not things that are going to pass away. I mean, there's things we can attain here on earth that are eternal. Absolutely. Absolutely. God has given us all various ministries and various callings in our life. We have the ability to earn crowns, multiple crowns, that which we are going to receive in heaven. We have the ability to receive gifts even here on earth from the Lord when we act in obedience to him. How about this? When God calls us to do something or go somewhere and he uses us to draw someone out of darkness, is their destiny not eternal? Absolutely. So to think that there's nothing here on earth that we can strive after that's not eternal, well, there is in Christ. There is absolutely things we can do here on this side of heaven that are going to make an eternal impact. And so it's important that we seek those things which are eternal, and we're going to get into that here. Again, if we've been saved, we've been raised with Christ Jesus, so let's seek the things which are above. Matthew 6:21, Jesus says that where our treasure is, our heart will be also. And as I was reading that, I also have an NLT version, forgive me, but I have an NLT version that I look at because I like to get a perspective of different. I look up Hebrew, Greek. I like to get a perspective of what I'm reading. Now, in the New King James, it is Jesus simply saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The NLT version, I believe, says it wonderfully in the description. It says that where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Where your treasures are, the desires of your heart will be there also. I like that. I really like that because it reminds me, number one, is Jesus your most precious treasure? Is he your most precious treasure? Is he number one in everything in your life? He should be, because we have died to ourselves. We belong to him. He should be number one. If Jesus is our treasure, then the desires of our heart are going to be to please him. It's a very simple statement, but a beautiful statement. Where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Where are we storing up treasures, gang? What are we here for, and what are we living each day? Who are we living to please? Our spouse, our friends, our coworkers? Who are we living to please each day? Because it should only be one. There should only be one that we seek to please each day. And that's him. If we seek to please anything else other than Jesus, then we are not storing our treasures in the eternal places, in the heavenlies. Where your treasure is where the desires of your heart are going to be. Now, we like to please people. It's an almost impossible task to do. We like it when somebody's blessed because of something we do. But ultimately, each day that we wake up, it should be to please the Lord. And that should be our prayer when we wake up. Before we even get out of bed, Lord, help me to please you today. Not man, Lord. Because I know if we seek to please the Lord, what's going to happen is we're going to bless the Lord by seeking to please him. And in turn, God's going to take care of the people around us. If we don't have that right focus on him being number one and seeking to please him, then everything else is going to be out of whack. Everything else is just going to be up and down and all around. But if we're seeking to please him, God will take care of the rest. He'll take care of the relationships, friendships, coworkers, all those things God will take care of. You know, if we don't have it right this way with the Lord, we won't get it right to anyone else. So the perspective here and what Paul is saying here is we need to seek the things that are above, but we also need to place Jesus and make him number one to do that. We want to seek to please him. If we seek to fill our hearts with things that are only temporary, number one, we will never know true peace because those things are temporary. We will never know true contentment and what that is. Again, the spot in your heart that needs to be filled can only be filled by Jesus. And then the desires of our heart will be to seek after the things which please him. And that should be our ultimate goal. We want to please him. He says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, we need to be Christ-minded. And again, this is something that's not unattainable. And matter of fact, if we are children of God, if we have been raised with Christ, if we have been saved, then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 tells us that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. But what happens is oftentimes in this life, as I mentioned earlier, there are so many things trying to distract us from the simple truth that we need to live our lives in Christ Jesus. There are so many things trying to distract us from that simplicity. Things get complicated. And well, how can I please God now? And now this is a mess, and now this is a mess. I can't get to church on Sunday. I got too much stuff going on. I can't come Wednesday. I got too much stuff going on. I've been there. It's a very easy trap to fall into. And you know what usually leads to it? When I'm trying to please someone or something other than Jesus first. That's when the distractions come. Though I am a child of God, I'm born again, still things are trying to pull my mind away and take my mind off the things of Christ. Because we are Christ-minded. We have the mind of Christ. But the problem is the things of this world are trying to distract us and take our minds off Him. If you would, just regarding that verse, I'm going to turn four books to the left, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You can just let me read it, or you can turn with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to be picking it up in verse 4. Our mind is a battlefield. You guys, I'm sure, are aware of that. That the battle, a lot of the battle is right up here. It's going on in here. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons that we have in this warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. God has equipped us with weaponry, if you will. He says, not weapons that are carnal, but these are weapons that are mighty in God. These are weapons that He has given us. He has given us the ability to, in Christ, cast down arguments, pull down strongholds. And listen to this. This is where it's really important, because our mind, we have the ability in Christ to cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's anything that comes against us in seeking to please God, seeking to be Christ-minded. Anything that comes against that, God has given us the ability in Him and in Christ to cast that down. Not only that, but He says also to bring every thought into captivity. Not into a captivity where we hold onto it, but He says, no, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Again, He's got to be number one. If He's number one, if we're seeking to please Him, folks, God has equipped us with the ability in Him and for Him to cast down these thoughts, to take captive of these thoughts. And these thoughts are taken captive in the obedience to Christ Jesus. So He has given us the ability not only to pull thoughts down from our mind that are trying to creep in and distract us from being Christ-minded, but He's also given us His Word, the washing of the Word, the renewing of the mind. He's given us His Word. Folks, this is the most precious physical thing we can own this side of heaven, right here. This Word is precious, and it's life-saving, life-altering. And He has given us His Word that we might read His Word and that we might renew our minds in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us it's actually a washing of the Word. Our minds get washed, and that's a good thing. We need to be cleansed. We need to be washed daily. The grime and filth of a fallen world is trying to penetrate us. They come in the door at the end of the day, and it's just like, Lord, I feel like Isaiah right now. I'm unclean, Lord. I am just so beat up. But if we turn to Him and we say, Lord, help me, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, get into His Word, and let the Word wash your mind. So to be Christ-minded, it is something, again, it's the position that we are in Christ. We are Christ-minded. We do have the mind of Christ. But there are things trying to exalt itself against God. There are thoughts that we have to let the Lord take into captivity. Take those thoughts into captivity in Christ. Verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. He says, for you died, and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, the Apostle Paul, writing in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, he made this profound statement. This is, I believe, for every Christian. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We have died with him. And that's the thing, when we've given our life to Christ, we have been crucified with Christ. The old man or old woman has been put to death, and now we have a new life in Christ. But not only that, at the end of that verse, he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to remind you tonight that you are all so very precious in the sight of God. He gave himself for you and for me. He willingly and lovingly gave himself for you and for me. He demonstrates his love to us over and over and over, his faithfulness. And he won't stop demonstrating his love towards us because he loves us. He loves you. So we have been crucified with Christ. Paul says, so the life which I now live, walking in this flesh, I live now by faith in the Son of God. I live my life now for Jesus. And for those who knew me before my conversion, I was a mess. I was a mental mess, in and out of mental hospitals and the drugs and just the madness. Nothing made sense. But when I was broken, falling to my knees and crying out to God, he changed my lousy life. And you know, he's done so much in my life in such a short time. He has mended and healed the damage that I spent my whole life constructing. I was just like Godzilla in one of those old, you know, the old Godzilla movies. That was me. I just left destruction wherever I walked. Relationships shattered, people shattered. I mean, just left a wake of destruction behind me. But when Jesus came into my life, when I surrendered my life to Jesus, he not only picked me up and he cleaned me up and he started to renew my mind so that I could think clear, but I come to the conclusion that I can't live for anybody else but Jesus. And nobody else, not my wife, my kids, my family, the bestest best friend I could ever have this side of heaven, none of them come close to the love that I have for Jesus. And that's just the way it is. I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my friends, but they don't come close to the love that I have for Jesus. He saved my soul. He saved your soul. So why, with him demonstrating this great love for us, why not just live for him each day? Wake up and ask the Lord to show you and guide your steps so that you can bless him, that you could please him. You guys, all of you are precious in the sight of God. And the reason that you are so precious is because God loves you. And your worth is not found in this world. Your worth is found in Jesus Christ, who loved you, loves you still, and gave his life for you. We act as though sometimes that something else other than Christ might satisfy. We act as though doing something else might satisfy in a sense that it's going to exalt itself above God in our life. We're all tempted with that. Again, going back to the renewing of our mind, pulling down strongholds, pulling thoughts into captivity, those things are so important because we're all tempted to seek after something other than Christ. Isn't that just, I see why the Lord calls us sheep. I really do. You know, sheep are not the brightest animals. They're constantly trying to go astray. The shepherd's always going after ones that are getting away. Often they find themselves away from the rest of the sheep, lost, maybe targeted by wolves. We are prone to go astray. That's what the Word of God says. We are like sheep who are prone to go astray. And it blows my mind because there shouldn't be an issue here. Jesus settled everything at the cross. He paid our sin debt in full. So there should be no issue as who I'm going to please today. Who am I going to worship? Am I going to have the mind of Christ today? Or am I going to have the mind of Ryan? I don't want the mind of Ryan. Because that mind is filthy. I want the mind of Christ. I want to know what pleases God. And I want to be obedient to what he wants me to do. And that should be all our prayer. That should be all of us here tonight. And God has given us tools to do that, but we have to use them. You know, I've seen some amazing, especially my father-in-law, he used to work with a lot of tools. He had an amazing tool set. But he had a stroke about 9 years ago, and with that stroke, it kind of crippled his hands a bit. He can't grab anything, so he had this beautiful set of tools: Snap-on, Craftsman, all these wonderful tools because he did woodworking and construction, and they had a layer of dust about that thick on them, just sitting there doing nothing. And folks, I think that sometimes the tools that God has given us might be collecting dust. We have to dust those tools off, use them each day, especially when it comes to the Word of God. We need the Word of God each day to renew our minds, to wash us. Our life is now in Christ. John chapter 10, Jesus said quite clearly that I have come to give you life, and give you that life more abundant. The Amplified Version says to be filled up till it overflows. That's what Jesus desires to give us. That's the life God desires for us. A life that is abundant in him. Overflowing. And I'll tell you what, and I'm sure many of you can testify, when we're walking in the Spirit and in obedience to God, isn't it incredible how God starts just working outside our life and all these things that perhaps we were striving to fix, he's just taking care of them. It's almost as if God is just saying, you just keep sitting with me, child. Keep seeking to please me, worship me. I'll take care of all this other stuff. And he does that when we're obedient. It's incredible. Life more abundant, Jesus said. So now he goes in from verse 5 to 9, and he reminds us kind of our old man or old woman. He reminds us a little bit of about our days walking in the flesh. Here he says, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now, so here we see kind of the list. This is like the all-star list of the evident works of the flesh here. You know, we see the fornication, uncleanness, the evil desires, covetousness, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. We see all these things, and these are all the works of the flesh. But it's interesting that Paul also reminds us, and I love this because it levels the playing field. In verse 7, he says, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. He doesn't say in which some of you once walked when you lived in them. Remember, he's speaking to the church here. He's reminding us, I believe, to remember where God's brought us from. Not to dwell on the past by any means, but also to know we once were in that position. We once fell into one of those categories. All of us did. He doesn't say just some of you, but all of us. I mean, I can just grab a handful of those, and I guarantee I did them. You know, I'll take them all, because I probably did. But all of these things, these were the old man or the old woman before Christ. He says, put these things away. Quit living for the world, he says. Quit living for the things that are temporal that aren't going to fill that void in our heart. And quit striving for the things that aren't going to satisfy. And part of that, folks, is putting these things away. You know, God in his word, he gives us an antidote for every one of these. He does. He gives us an antidote in each one of these. And how to stray from these things. How not to be caught up by these things. Before Jesus, we walked in the flesh according to our sinful desires. We are to put off that life, put off that man, and put on the new man. The man that's mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the new creation, that man. Put that man on. The one who all the things that are old have passed away, and behold, all things become new. That man, put that man on. We are new creations in Christ. We've been given a clean slate, if you will, through the precious blood of Jesus. He says in verse 10, put on that new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This is so important, folks. One of my favorite sections of scripture is Ephesians chapter 2. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I go to it frequently because it reminds me, it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It reminds me that we are his workmanship, created by him, created in his image, for good works which God has prepared for us. I love living a life where I can wake up now with a smile on my face. I don't have to worry about the lie I told yesterday or that I'm whatever it is that I'm hiding in my life. I don't have to be scared about who I might have burned or who I might have hurt in my wake of drunkenness the night before. I get to wake up with a smile on my face. You know, sometimes we don't sleep much. We have two toddlers that sleep in our room with us. But I'll tell you what, even if I get an hour of sleep, I still wake up with a smile on my face because I have Jesus and he has me and he's not going to let me go. He's not going to let you go. And that's hope. That's what the world can't offer. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. How about this? Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians, four books to the left. Let's look at chapter 4. I want to read a few verses. Maybe just to spark and trigger something in our heart to remind us of how precious we are to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I hope this encourages you tonight. He says in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to the death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He, Jesus, who raised up the Lord Jesus, will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." That is incredible, folks. Paul just brings it home right there. He really does. He says, in light of all that's happening in our life and the mistakes we may make daily, the times we stumble, in light of all that stuff, he says, "But through all that, listen, we have this treasure inside us. In these earthen vessels, we have this treasure inside us." You know, the Bible speaks about being vessels of honor and dishonor. You know, we are either going to be one or the other. But here's one thing that's amazing to me is when God is looking for a vessel to use, it doesn't have to be silver and gold, and it doesn't have to be decorated with fancy jewels and gems and nice and shiny and just beautiful vessel. He's not looking for that. God is looking for just a simple vessel that is clean before Him so that He might use that vessel for His honor, for His glory. And all we have to do is to come to the Lord. 1 John 1:9. I love that verse. If we confess our sins to Him, to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we talk to God and we say, "Clean me, Lord. Make me clean. Forgive me." And at that moment, you are a clean vessel ready to be used for the glory of God. It's incredible. You have this beautiful treasure inside each and every one of you. And God would not put His Spirit in you if He did not, number one, absolutely love you and treasure you. But God has placed His trust in us. He has allowed us to be a witness for Him, and He has allowed us to be vessels to glorify Him. That is incredible. He could just get the angels to do it. You know, here we are, just little people on this little earth, and yet God humbled Himself and came down from heaven into this earth, walked this earth, lived sinless, and was nailed to a cross for you and me. That is great, amazing love, folks. You are loved tonight. You are cherished. Know who you are in Christ. Don't let the enemy rip you off. You have this treasure inside you that many, many wish they could have. Look at the hopeless around this world today. Look at how many hopeless there are. There is so much going on in this world. What they need is what we have. They need Jesus Christ. They need Jesus to come and fill the void in their hearts. And here we are, filled with the Spirit, children of God, born again, saved by grace. We have everything, folks. So live each day, as Paul said. Live each day seeking the things which are above. It is attainable. Simply seek to please God each day. And ask Him to direct your steps in the morning, before you even get out of bed. Lord, how can I please you today? Show me. Proverbs 3:5, one of the most quoted scriptures. I mean, they put it on In-N-Out hamburger drinks. You know, trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So God has given us all that we need to do this task. But we have to pick up our tools, folks. Don't let our tools get dusty. We need to use the tools God has given us. Remember, you have the mind of Christ. All this stuff is beautiful and wonderful, but that first question comes back, though. If you have been raised with Christ, have you been raised with Christ? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you allowed Him to come and be your Lord and Savior? Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you do not confess me before men, then I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. Now there is no prayer. We hear the sinner's prayer. What I want to do tonight is just invite you to come to Jesus Christ. Invite Him to be your Lord and Savior. Ask God to forgive you of your sins, wash you, make you clean, and start a new life that Christ has for you. So if you haven't done that, we want to give you the opportunity right now to do that. And so if you would like to pray this evening and acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand. We want to pray with you. If you have not given your life to Jesus, then tonight could be the night of salvation for you. I know many of you in here, but I don't know your hearts. God does. And He loves you. And heaven would not be the same without every single one of you. To sit here and hear the Word of God and not be saved. Be saved tonight. So last chance tonight, if you'd like to pray to receive Jesus, just stand where you're at. I'll pray with you. Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? It is so important, folks. Have you been raised with Christ Jesus? And if you can answer yes, then who are you living for each day? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, stir our hearts, Lord. This is just a wonderful epistle that you've allowed your servant Paul to write, Lord, that you, through the inspiration of your Spirit, have given us tonight. Stir our hearts, Lord, to seek after the things which are above, the things which are eternal, the things which please you, God. And we are so grateful for your word. We are so grateful for the presence of you in our lives. We are so grateful, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who dwells in each and every one of your believers. And we give you all praise this evening, Lord. I pray that for some of us here tonight, Lord, maybe we're struggling with different things in our life, Lord. I pray just a special touch and anointing on their hearts, Lord, that only you can do. Lord, would you touch and help whatever the situation is, Lord. We know that you're able. You heal the brokenhearted and you mend the wounds of your people. So, Lord, we're very grateful tonight for your word, for the worship, and for this place to come and just sit at your feet, Lord, and give you praise. We love you. Lord, we adore you. We give you all praise this evening. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand for one more song.